1 minute, 15 second video in tribute and honor of our men and women who have sacrificed their lives. So let's... Part of our scripture today was, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. So we are here today, this weekend, to remember those who have given their lives, men and women, for our country, for their freedom. And many of you here today may have loved ones who have died in their service to our country and nation. So I know this is... very important weekend for you. I know I have had family members who have served and died in action as well, and friends who I went to school with as well. So we want to look at our nation, our blessed nation. We are blessed as a nation. And a particular scripture that I want to bring, which is our main text this morning, is Psalms 33:12, which says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance." Now, in this passage, David, of course, is speaking of the nation of Israel. God had chosen them as his own, and they were to show the world God's greatness and his majesty. God chose them. Nothing special or different than any other nation. God chose them to be his people, to be missionaries to the rest of the world. Now, while other nations had many gods, Israel had only one God, and that was the Lord God Almighty. See, God has already promised them that they would be a mighty nation through the patriarchs like Abraham and Jacob, Isaac, and all of those who God promised and made that promise that he would bless every nation who blessed them. And of course, they'd be cursed if they brought harm or destruction to the nation of Israel. Now, There are many who say similar things about America. I believe that as a nation, we definitely have been blessed. Don't you? Would you say amen to that? We have definitely been blessed. And many would say that for many reasons, America has been so blessed is because we are a Christian nation. See, our country was founded on Judeo, which is Christian principles, and I believe that it is definitely that has helped us to define who we are as a nation. Although, at the same time, there are many who have noticed a slide in our values as a nation. We see that, and we witness that as well. And without being too political, which I'm not, it's not hard to see that our nation as a whole does not agree in the same values and beliefs. We have many different religions in our nation, and even our political parties cannot agree and don't have the same values. So, what do we do? Well, I think we pray. Well, the Bible tells us that we are to pray. And a good example of that is 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land." What a perfect, what an excellent passage of Scripture. And God will honor this if a nation will do exactly, pray, seek, and turn their face to God and turn from their wicked ways, then He will forgive their sins and restore their nations. See, I started thinking about this about a week ago. I think that we can pray our nation as a whole turn to God to be the true and living God that we practice when this nation was founded over 200 something years ago. See, I started thinking about that again this week. What would we as a nation, or even narrow it down, what do we do as individuals need to do to be a nation whose God is the Lord? So as we look at that this morning, I want us, as we look at the Scriptures and we recognize what that we could do to be a nation whose God is the Lord, first of all, we need to be obedient, or we need to obey. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, Jesus said, "If you love me, obey my commandments." Now, do we do that? As a nation, do we? Even narrow it down, do we do that as individuals? We can do better at it. We work at it, but we can do better. See, it's one thing for us to say that we love God or that we made Him the Lord of our lives. And it's another thing to narrow it down and say, really obey Him. That's why Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will love me and honor me in that way." So imagine if our nation were loving and kind to one another. Imagine if our nation were giving or forgiving. Imagine if our nation, we could share or sacrifice and submit to one another. Think about how different we as a people would be, our nation. Look how much different our world would be if they could see United States as that example that God lays down, that He laid down even for Israel to live and to be obedient. Lately, I've been praying and thinking about a lot of obedience. Even in our own personal lives, even in my own personal life, obedience, true obedience to the Lord. Are we listening to Him as we pray? We pray sometimes and we don't listen to God. That's why Psalms chapter 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." So when you pray, we need to be still. We need to recognize that God does want to bless us continually. He wants to answer our prayers. Be still and know that He is God, that He is the true and living God. So, what does obedience look like? You ever thought about that? If you analyze it and look at it, and look at the Scripture and see what the Scripture says about it, what does obedience look like? It didn't take me long to figure that out. Look at the life of Jesus. That is 100% perfect obedience, looking at the life of Jesus. See, if you want to know about obedience, you are to compare yourself to Jesus. You say, "Oh, wait a minute, how could I do that?" He was perfect. Well, he's that perfect example for us to look at if we want to be obedient in our lives. See, the mirror of your own righteousness isn't a very good indicator. But when you look at and compare it to Jesus, it's the perfect indicator, example for us to follow. See, we might say, I'm better than I was yesterday. How many of you better than you were yesterday? Or the week before? Well, see, that's why the Bible says that we are to work out our salvation day by day. Work it out. Not to be saved, but work it out to be the righteousness that God wants us to have. See, the real test of obedience, again, is Jesus. Now, next, if we want a nation with God's blessing, we have to stay humble. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if you will humble yourself, I will hear, I will bless you again. See, throughout Scripture, humility is a big deal. Even in sacrifice, God told a nation that a leader, obedience is better than sacrifice. Listen to the next two verses I want to read. One of them is James chapter 4, verse 6, which says, God opposes the proud but favors the humble. And then in Michael chapter 6, verse 8 says, know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you, that you do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. There's a lot of examples in the Word of God where that men of God worked humbly before God. Abraham, Noah, many, many I could name over and over that walked humbly with God. They was known by their righteousness. They weren't perfect people, just like we're not perfect people, but their hearts were set and bent towards God. They were obedient and they was humble in their life. So would you say as a nation that we are humble? Would you say we are proud? What about us as individuals? Are we humble or are we proud? I think of all of us have a repenting to do in this area. Amen. We all have some room to do that. There's two more concepts that I think belong in this conversation, and they both stem from the passage of Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 36, where Jesus said, he was answering a question. They was always posing questions. They was trying to trick Jesus, but boy, he hit it right on the nail head with this one when the Pharisee questioned Jesus. And Jesus replies, well, Jesus is answered this question and he replies, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, the Pharisee who had said it to, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Well, that's a lot, isn't it? All of your heart, soul, and mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit, and your mind. Whatever comes up here needs to end up here. And we can think about it, but until we process it and we really mean it and become obedient and humble, it will not wind up here if we only think about it. But heart, soul, and mind, it's a combination of all those things that we need to do. And then in verse 38, it says, this is the great and most foremost commandment. The second is, it's like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So the final two concepts I want to look at briefly, and I'm almost through, I don't like much, but worship and service. I believe, are actually related. And we do that. We do that very well here at the Versailles Baptist Church. See, we think of worship as singing songs or coming to church, but worship really is ascribing to God the glory that He rightly deserves. He deserves all the glory that we can give Him. If you read the Gospel of John, all the way through the Gospel of John, it says, give glory to God. Whatever we do, Jesus says, whatever I do, I do it to honor and glorify the Father. So should we. So in worship, we say to God, you are the most important priority in my life. Nothing else compares. Jesus says, the greatest commandment is to love God with everything, everything within us. And make Him the most important priority in your life. Put Him above all things else. If we do an examination of our own life, do we put Him above anything else in our life? Do we? Individually, as a nation, do we really put Him above everything else? Make Him the most important priority in life. Put Him above all else. Give Him your everything. See, that is the true blessing. And I can think of no greater thing to do, and Steve mentioned that a while ago. Pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. We need to do that daily. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us to pray. New Testament tells us to pray. Pray for our nation. That we would put God first above all thing else. See, worship Him and Him alone. The second part of this is equally important, and it is to serve. We need to serve those around us. That we would serve our neighbors, as the Scripture says. See, I had a professor in seminary that used to say it this way. If you really love God, then you begin to love what He loves. You know what He loves, right? He loves people. Now, I'm pretty sure that's a direct quote. I try to get those quotes that professors made and so forth down, because that is something awesome. If you really love God, then you begin to love what He loves. You know what He loves? He loves people. Boy, you want a shot of reality? That is. And I think that through. And if you and I aren't giving, sacrificing, loving your neighbors, then we're really not loving God, are we? Because these are commandments He has given us. See, Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which are lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And actually, Beth, we'll be using that verse at camp this week. 2 weeks, yeah. 2 weeks, June the 10th through the 15th. That's one of our key verses. See, He came to give hope to the hopeless and to heal the dying and to save a world that has rejected Him. See, we are ambassadors. We are His church. And we are to live it as that. See, when will we experience God's blessing? When you really get down to it, when will we experience His true blessing? I believe it is when we are obedient and humble, and we love Him as much as we do anything else, and we'll do what? See others come to know Him. That's what it's all about. Serving, worshiping, caring, and giving ourselves. Living sacrifices. Many in our nation have given our lives for freedom. You know, Jesus asked us to give our lives as living sacrifices unto Him and to lead others to Jesus Christ. We all have that opportunity, whether we go abroad or we stay right here in our own community. You know, this is our Jerusalem right here, Ripley County. And God wants us to meet that challenge. It's a commandment that we love one another, love Him first, and love one another, and to share Him with others. See, that's the freedom that we experience as people of God. And that's the blessing we will receive when we keep His commandment. Let us pray. Father God, we just praise Your holy name this morning. We thank You for Your presence here in this service. Lord, help us to share and show our love even more each day. As we get closer to You, we will experience that, and others will experience it as well, because it'll be like osmosis. It'll just rub off on people. It becomes very contagious. But our heart has to be in the right place. It has to be humble. We have to be obedient. If there's anyone here that doesn't know You today, Lord, as their Lord and Savior, I just pray deep-heartedly that do some soul-searching. Because Your Holy Spirit is always at work, always seeking a lost soul or a repentant heart to come to You. May they do that right now as we sing our invitation, as we prepare for that. Because this is Your invitation, and You offer it to anyone who's willing to say, "Yes, Jesus, I love You with all my heart, soul, and mind." It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Hymn of invitation this morning is 4.